Morning brings dawn, and dawn a new day. But what if this day was different? What if this day you could see beyond the surface of reality to the essence of creation? Well, come along on a journey to a place where the sun doesn't rise or set, where what you choose is what you get. It's a place that's all around you, but you haven't seen it yet. This is How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo.
And good evening, and welcome once again to How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo. And I am your host, Michael Galileo. Once again, happy to be here. And as Henry Miller would say, the world is not to be put in order. The world is in order. And it is for us to put ourselves in unison with this order. And that, of course, is why the show is here. And that's why the show has been here, to help everyone to see that order and try to get ourselves more in step with that order. And tonight's show is going to be titled Everything is Temporary, including this show. And it just so happens that this evening will be the last live broadcast of the show for the foreseeable future. I'm going to be taking it off the air, although it will still be on the archives at the website, www.galileorealtime.com. But this evening, we're going to kind of wrap it up. We've been talking about how the universe works now for over 3 months, almost 4 months, about a third of a trip of the Earth around the sun. We have 584 million miles in a year, and we've done a third of that. We've traveled close to 200 million miles, talking about how the universe works once a week. And we're going to be moving on, and I'm going to be putting together a video series. Going to be spending a little time working on that to try to explain it even better, how the universe works. I'm not stopping, I'm just moving on to other things. And as I said, the shows will all be in the archives, so anybody that wants to can take a look back or listen back from the beginning over and over again if they missed anything. And that's the beauty of it. And I appreciate everyone who has listened, and hope you continue to stay in touch and contact through the website if I don't talk to you on the radio again. But but I want to make sure, it was my goal when I came on here to try to help someone somewhere understand how the world works around them a little bit better than they did before they heard the show, whether it was one show or multiple shows. I'm certainly hoping that this effort that I put forth every Tuesday evening for the last few months has affected someone in a positive way to allow them to better understand how it is that it works, to help get better in order with that the world, the way that things are. And tonight I want to, touch on a lot of different things that we've spoken about, nothing deep and heavy. We're going to keep it to poetry and quotes, and we've got the musical message tonight is from the Talking Heads, and they're going to, the theme song to the show. Well, tonight we're going to play the whole thing, and I figured that would be a good way to finish up. But we've come to this place every Tuesday evening, or I have, to explain the quantum mechanics, the knowable universe that we live in, and that, that's a tremendous thing. The fact that we live in a universe that today we can really know how it works. It certainly has taken us a long time as modern man to evolve ourselves from the complete darkness of our world, where we thought the sun was going around the earth and all sorts of different perceptions of reality, to finally realize how it is that this place works and why everything becomes the way that it does around us. And if we look at it in this new way, what we see is that everything that has been said before us for thousands of years by people who knew what they were talking about, knew what they were talking about, even with the limited amount of empirical evidence, the photos from the Hubble and the quantum physics that we can now understand thanks to the advances of science. So, you know, there's been a lot done. There's been a lot discovered over the last 5,000, 10,000 years, and we certainly have put it to a use that if we want to, you know, we can really see beyond it all. And I guess that's the point. For me, and I apologize for this, if I, in my expression of things to people over the air in the show, if it seems like I have a lot of assumptions about people's perceptions of the universe and what they do understand, it's just that it took so long for me to finally understand how it is that things work around us and to be able to see through beyond the surface of reality. And see the essence of creation and see it all around us in every moment. See how everything is becoming exactly the way it is and how it reconciles with all the books of scripture, every religion, and all the science. And then realize that we have this power available to us, that this is an ongoing force, this, if you want to call it a higher power, if you want to call it a God, if you want to, whatever you want to call it, there is an energy force that is not as, you know, ethereal as it has sounded all these years, you know, words like chi, different ways of trying to describe energy. But really, it's electric. It's plain and simple. It's the world that we live in, the universe that we're in, the perceivable universe that we're in, what we experience and what the telescopes try to explore. From one end to the other is electric. There are power sources within this universe that generate an electrical current. Those power sources is the cosmic microwave background, which is the energy that is still going from the Big Bang. There is the energy that is generated by quasars. And quasars are very powerful sources of energy in our universe, and also by stars like our sun, which generate energy which impacts solar systems. Elements become solar systems that operate around that energy source, that star. And, you know, it's really not as far out as one would think, when you can wrap your mind around the whole thing. You know, again, we've spoken about the fact that the universe that we live in is a closed universe. When I say a closed universe, it basically has edges. Scientists say it's shaped basically like a soccer ball. And the reason that it's shaped sort of like a soccer ball is because of the vibrational frequency that is generated by those power sources, the stars and the cosmic microwave background and the quasars. The universe, if you could hear it, it vibrates at a B flat because of the sound, the sonic tonality of that vibration that comes from the energy source that powers the universe and causes everything within it to be what it is. And it causes everything to go from what it is to what it has to become. And that's why everything is temporary. Because they're not really things. We became self-aware on this cosmic soup, and because we became self-aware and we see things as objects, having definition, as having beginnings and ends, we see the world in snapshots. We see every second, every moment as a snapshot. We don't see it as an ongoing, constantly flowing river of energy, which is more accurate. But because of our dual hemisphered brain, which we evolved in this universe, as all things have evolved from their beginning on, as we've evolved, and it's covered in all of the other shows, a lot of the other shows, the details of that. But once we did, we got not only self-awareness, but optically we began to see things with depth of field and contrast and duality. And because we saw things with duality, we saw the differential. We saw what was and what wasn't. And because of that, we see things as what they are at any particular moment. And then when it changes from that to something else, we change what we call it. It goes from being a glass bottle to a recyclable, to trash, to a new bottle. And it's really just constant moving, changing energy that is being reconstructed moment by moment based upon its circumstances and conditions, just like people, and just like corporations, and just like relationships, and just like everything else in this universe. It's all electric. It's a multidimensional holographic structure that, because of the continuing energy source, everything continues to hold itself in memory and then metabolize its circumstances to become what it eventually must become. And that's what we're doing here. And then, of course, we, having that self-awareness I mentioned before and our intelligence, we have the ability now to make choices, and our choices affect that energy and that dynamic as each thing around us becomes the next. We have impacted it just by being here, by whatever we do or don't do. It doesn't matter. It's we talked about this, and remember this. If nothing else, life is a river, not a road. And that river is moving at 18.5 miles a second. And again, that 18.5 miles a second comes from the fact that we base our system of time, and man bases everything in the universe on the system of time based upon years, which is the amount of time that it takes for the Earth to go around the sun, which is 584 million miles, which means we travel 1.6 million miles every day, and that happens at 18.5 miles per second. So every second is about 18.5 miles long, and if you look at reality as a construct, which it is, whether it's the electromagnetic construct of nature causing everything to become what it does, or the subjective variation of that man has manifested by virtue of our own choices of alternate possibilities, and that's what we're doing every day. We're living in the results of that world. And if you see that, just like a piece of matter, and it doesn't matter what it is, I don't know what your listening environment is, but no matter what it is, whether it's a chair you're sitting in, or a table you're sitting at, or a computer you're listening to, or whatever it might be, it is only the way that it is because every atom of matter within it is causing it to be that way. If one atom of any particle of matter were different, then the way it is to cause that thing to be constructed the way it is, if one atom were different, then the thing would be different. It would be imperceivable, granted, generally imperceivable. But if you were to change more of the atoms, eventually you would begin to notice in the form a difference between the way it was and the way it has become, because each atom, as it changed, altered a small percentage of the whole. And as you change more atoms in the matter's form, you create the matter's form in a different form, whether it be changing a color or changing its form, or whatever it might be. And it's the same thing with reality. Once you realize that the frame of time that you're in, the 18.5 mile long second that you're existing in, the now that you're always in, contains different possibilities, and based upon your choice, the resulting life experience and the subsequent moments will become more as those choices cause it to be. It always does. Because you're choosing what it is right now that you're existing in. We all are, whether we realize it or not. And the way to change reality is just like changing a matter's form. Time comes to us 1 second at a time. Think of it as one atom at a time of building a reality, building a matter's form. And depending upon the choice you make in each second, the reality becomes more that way, whatever it is. I have some quotes I want to go through this evening that I use very often. I have a list of them. And the first one, it's funny, is by William Shakespeare. And it says, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And that is so true, because it is our opinion that causes things to be good or bad. It's our opinion, it's our viewpoint that causes things to be in the first place, because they wouldn't be things. It would just be a certain set of circumstances and conditions that would be changing, but because of our circumstances, we've been able to label them and call them things. They wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that perspective and that point of view. But they are, and we use them, and they're 18 and a half miles long every second, and each second becomes the next, and it piles up, and as much as we're creating the life experience that we experience. We call that the future, but it's really the now. We don't create the future, we create the now. And the now is constantly evolving. We more create the past than we create the future, because everything in mankind's past is what we have created. We don't create what's ahead of us. Well, we do. We create the possibility and the potential for what's ahead of us, but we never get it until it becomes the now. And, you know, I don't want to get too deep, but then again, if you're talking about a show about how the whole universe works and you're going from end to end, I guess it doesn't really get any deeper, depending upon how you want to look at it. But, you know, you can see the whole universe in a single grain of sand. So it really is that simple. And, of course, if there's something that anyone has any questions about, feel free to contact me anytime at my website, www.galileorealtime.com. And, of course, you will find the Earth Clocks there, which is a big part of my work and a big part of the visual aspect of what I do and showing people the flow of life. These clocks really do show you the flow of life. They show you exactly what's going on and how it's happening at the speed it's happening at, as opposed to the clocks that we're raised on that show us a bunch of numbers and hands moving around in whatever direction. It happens to be that time happens in the opposite direction than the clocks we're used to in the Northern Hemisphere, so... You know, how much more confusing could it be for us around here? And that is part of the problem. I mean, we get confusing information from the moment we get here with words like sunrise and sunset when the sun's not rising and the sun's not setting. And interestingly enough, I was watching the movie Inherit the Wind the other evening by Stanley Kramer with Spencer Tracy and, who else? Well, Gene Kelly was in it. Trying to remember, I think it was Frederick March, and Gene Kelly had a line in that where he was playing a newspaper reporter, and he said, because I know the sunrise is an optical illusion, my teacher told me so. And he was a wise guy for knowing that, because, you know, so many of us get almost hypnotized by the people using the word sunrise and sunset, that as we go through the day, it almost appears to us as if the sun is going through the sky, when in actuality it's the earth that's turning. And as semantic and as irrelevant as that may sound, it is a profound statement about the cause of our confusion. And I don't want to be overly dramatic, but they are very insidious words, sunrise and sunset. They're poetic. They roll off the tongue. They're sentimental. But unfortunately, they're incorrect, and they're part of what confuses the heck out of us. So we end up in a world full of confusion, and we really don't want that. So it's really the loving thing to do, and the kind thing to do, and the considerate thing to do, to be more honest in our vocalization of the circumstances that we're experiencing. There's a saying on my wall here someplace. I'm not exactly sure where it is, but I can pretty much remember it. It says, the Buddha and all his successors warned against intellectual structures and that create artificial environments and smear over the living fact of things in themselves. And that pretty much describes what our regular clocks are. Not so much the digital ones, because they're just giving you a readout, although, you know, that's a completely subjective number if you're just letting the number tell you what time it is. You're losing relevance to anything. The other clocks, the analog mechanical escapement clocks that we're used to, the ones that go around in 12 hours, go around twice in a clockwise, what we call a clockwise direction, they are at least showing movement. However, they're showing movement in the wrong direction and at the wrong speed. They're showing a rotation that goes around twice in a 24-hour period when time actually happens as a one rotation in every 24 hours. So, you know, the world is full of circumstances and conditions that make it very confusing for us. It makes it like being in a house of mirrors and all the mirrors are cracked. And it makes it very hard to discern truth. But once you understand how the universe works, the truth becomes evident and empirical, and it evolves itself in every moment. So, you know, it really does behoove us to try to look as closely as we can beyond the surface, beyond the thing that we call it. To really understand something is to forget the name of what it is that we're looking at, because it's what it is that thing represents that is really what it is. It's about its nature, and that's what we want to do. We want to look for the nature of things, because that's what tells us what a thing is going to do and how it's going to behave. We need to understand its nature, otherwise we don't understand what it's going to do and how it's going to behave. And once we understand that it's a dynamic universe that's electric, causing each moment to become the next, we see the importance of understanding why we need to know how things will behave, because circumstances are changing. And just because a thing is the way it is at the particular moment doesn't mean, as circumstances and conditions evolve, that it's going to react and respond the same way as it is in the moment that it's in. So, you know, again, once we realize that life is like a river, then if you've ever been out on a canoe or a raft on a river, then you know you need to pay attention to what's up ahead so that you don't end up damaged on the rocks or flipped over or off of falls or stuck in an eel trap or anywhere that you don't want to be when there are calmer waters or more enjoyable places on the river that you might want to be. And the only way you're ever going to get there is by understanding the canoe you're in and the power of your oar or your paddle and how the water moves, and taking all those things into consideration and then using them in such a way to create the combination required to bring about the eventual destination that you're trying to accomplish. So, you know, life is like a river, and just existing is like being in the canoe. And if you're not paying attention to what's ahead of you, chances are you're going to hit some rocks or get knocked out of your canoe or certainly not end up any place that you planned. You'll certainly end up wherever it is that you chose, but definitely not where you planned. If you don't know how to use those things, and if you don't understand the nature of the paddle, the canoe, the water, the things under the water that you can see, even though they're under the water, if you know how the water moves. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. And I'm hoping this last evening of the live show to cover a bunch of bases and fill in some blanks and open some minds and hopefully enlighten a little bit. So that's what we're going to do. We've got another half hour to do it. We're going to take a short break, and then we will be back with our musical message, and we're going to read a few poems after that. I'll see you on the other side. Bye.
A wise man once said, "The world is not to be put in order. The world is in order. It is for us to put ourselves in unison with this order." Most would agree that's easier said than done. Well, getting in line with the universe is about to get a whole lot easier. Join host Michael Galileo Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and become empowered by the knowledge of how our universe works from one edge to the other. You didn't know there are edges? How about where time comes from? No? Wow! See? You do need this show. How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo, here on Contact Talk Radio.
Join Michael Galileo every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for more information, check out his website at GalileoRealTime.com.
The Buddha and all his successors talk about intellectual structures that confine us to an artificial environment and against concepts that smear over the living fact of things as themselves. So said Robert Aitken, a Zen Buddhist master. Now, with the real-time earth clock, you can pull back the veil of illusion that's helping to cloud truth in your environment. Traditional clocks unknowingly confuse our world with artificial interpretations of time, even going in the opposite direction from which time occurs. The real-time earth clock shows time as it actually happens, and in the process shows us the flow of life on planet Earth. The ultimate feng shui device, it's a totally natural way of looking at time. Want to see a bigger picture? Visit GalileoRealTime.com and click on Clocks. The real-time earth clock. It's time for a new perspective.
At the bottom of the ocean, under the water, carry the water.
Same as it ever was. Under the water, they carry the water. That's that electrical current we're talking about. David Byrne sees it. He's been talking about it for 30 years. And each moment just becomes the next. You know, first there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. And what are we doing about it? You know, how are we using that continual energy that causes each moment to change from what it is to what it has to become? How are we using that to create the world around us? You know, it's a shame. It's a shame that we have so much confusion and so much error to overcome in order to see this world for what it is. You know, an absolutely wonderful environment for us to make choices and have a life experience and cause it to be the way we'd like it to be, for all intents and purposes. You know? So, we got to do what we can here and cause it to be the way that it does, because depending upon how you put your oar in the water and how you read that river depends upon the size of your automobile and the house that you live in and everything else that you do. So, you know, it's all about seeing the power and the possibility in each second. So, and let's move on to some poetry. And we'll start with Every Second Comes, because that's pretty much what the song is talking about. It goes like this. Moments don't happen any old time. Moments occur one by one in a line. And each little moment, a second to you, offers a choice to choose what we do. And each little thing that we each choose to do creates our world like 1 + 1 = 2. Each moment adds up on top of the last. In some inner circles, this is known as the past. Or karma to some, it's the same kind of thing and about the possibility that each moment can bring. Because of the things that have happened before, the moments to come become even more. Just as a building goes up piece by piece, the adding of moments in life doesn't cease. It starts from the moment you first come to be and goes so far out it's too far to see. But moment by moment, each step every day, it's our choices that lead us along on our way. Because the future is made up of additional seconds that add on to each other as the next moment beckons and becomes what it does by each of our choosing, and choose as we do our winning and losing. So, there you go. And there's the math. 1 + 1 = 2. And if we see each second as an 18.5-mile-long molecule or atom of reality, then by having those edges, we could actually apply a math formula that shows us the past and shows us the future. And that is the Fibonacci recurrent series of whole numbers. And I think a lot of people are becoming familiar with that because of things recently like The Secret. And there's another book by a fellow, I think his name is Dan Brown, Da Vinci Code, and he has another one out. And, you know, they all base themselves loosely on the understanding of the Fibonacci series of numbers and what that all means. And they, you know, they get into the mystical aspects of that because everything in the universe is based upon that formula. That's the way the universe works. UN equals UN minus 1 plus UN minus 2, which is another way of expressing the Fibonacci recurrence series of whole numbers. Those numbers go 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, etc., so that any particular time, the numeral that you're dealing with, the number you're dealing with, is a total of the two numbers before it. Zero being the first of anything. Everything has its beginning, so that would be its zero point, its 0 second. When the circumstances and conditions are created to cause that thing to be, whether it's a person or the soda bottle or the computer or a marriage, it doesn't matter. The first second would be zero. The second second would be one. The third second would be one, because zero plus one is one. The fourth second would be two, because one plus one is two. And then the fifth second would be three, because two plus one is three, etc. So every second holds in it all of the information of the prior seconds, all the way back to the beginning. And it happens to manifest itself geometrically. That proportion manifests itself geometrically in the shape of a pentagon or the spiral, actually, which creates the pentagon. And that is the basis for all of the metaphysical and mystical buildings and symbols. It all comes from that, really. That's the basis for the pyramids. It's the basis for, so many of the things that we see represented. Like I said, a spiral in a snail shell comes from that equation. And it's also, in the Da Vinci Code, you see that that's the proportion that makes up our DNA and also our physical form. Da Vinci did the picture of man and his proportion broken down into the golden ratio based upon the different measurements of our body. If you know one measurement and you apply the golden ratio, which is the result of the Fibonacci recurrent series of whole numbers, that's what that proportion represents. The golden ratio. That's why it's called the golden ratio, because it's found throughout nature and over the years it had been uncovered, and it became more universal in its administration or where you could see it manifested. So then it became known as the golden ratio because of the fact that it appeared to be coming from nature, and it does. That's exactly what is created by the electrical current that causes each moment in our universe to continue to be the next. So, that's part of how it works. So we have that simple little math. 1 plus 1 equals 2. And then 2 plus 1 equals 3. And then 3 plus 2 equals 5. And 5 plus 3 equals 8. And 8 plus 5 equals 13. And before you know it, that's how it's working. And the second that you're in is a total of all the seconds all the way back to the first one. But not only of yours, then it goes all the way back to, you have to take into consideration your parents, and it goes all the way back genetically, further and further, all the way back to the beginning of the universe. It's all been just one big continuum. So this is how it works, and this is what we're talking about here, and that's exactly what Henry Miller was talking about when he said, the world is in order. It is for us to put ourselves in unison with that order, and trying to think of name is slipping my mind right now. Get it right with God. Lucinda Williams. That's what Lucinda said. Get it right with God. And once we see each moment's becoming the next, and as ye sow shall ye reap, because of the electromagnetic nature of the universe, once we understand that, then we can see that many times problems that we encounter, we're really creating ourselves, that if we would stop creating the circumstances and conditions for that problem or difficulty to exist, that it would go away. But we have to be able to see that. Another poem, next one up. Earth goes round the sun. Here we go. The earth goes round and round the sun. It goes it every day. It goes in one direction. It goes it just one way. It stays its course like clockwork. It doesn't miss a beat. It's something you can count on when you're walking down the street. It's moving in a circle. It moves without a sound. It's just going over and over. It's just going round and round. And every day it goes around, it goes 2 million miles. Well, actually just less than that, but still it's cause for smiles. Because who would ever know and who would ever say that where we were just yesterday is now that far away? And something else that tells us, something else that shows that things are changing all the time and they're not changing slow. But when you're flying at that speed and flying every day, the future's coming at you. And it's coming from one way. It's coming from the way we face as we circle round the sun. That's the reason there is a future. Yep, that's the only one. The fact we're flying round in space and spinning round the sun gives us a way to track the time to tell you when you're one. And from the moment that you entered, that's from the point that you became, we count your trips around the sun and apply them to your name. And every trip around the sun, you add another year. It's just a mile measurement, nothing you should fear. Because every trip around we take is just another chance to try to love each other and to help each other dance. To dance the dance of life, you see, to dance it every way. To grow and learn and laugh and sing, loving every day. And everybody's trip around is done a different way. Sometimes friends are close around and sometimes far away. No matter how you slice it, though, no matter what you say, the seasons and the leaves and trees don't know no other way. The animals and the fishes, too, and so should I, and so should you. Because the earth is going round and going it so fast, troubles that are here today can soon be in the past. And there's no sense in turning round. Don't bother looking back, because at 18 miles each second, they're fading in their track. And any way you'll find the best is really just ahead if you leave the past behind you and look in front instead. So ride the earth around the sun, enjoy your time and space, and you can make each trip around with a smile on your face. And see, now that's how we go from quantum mechanics to the environment for us to do what we do every day, because the earth is going around the sun and it's going over and over. And it's like Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, the movie. Every day we get another chance to get it right. And, you know, it really just takes seeing the truth of how everything works around us in order to do that. And in order to seek truth, like the saying says, one need not seek truth only to cease to cherish opinion. You know, we have to get the wrong opinions out of the way, and if we get our assumptions out of the way and we actually allow our eyes to be open and we move slow enough to allow things to be able to show themselves to us, then we can actually see what's going on. Which will take me right into my next poem, which is How Can You See the Wind? We're going to go through them here because this is important stuff and I want to get them out in the last show. So, how can you see the wind? How can you see the wind? How do you know that it's there? How can you see this disturbance that's pushing around all the air? How do you know that it's something? How can you tell that it is? If you can't even see it or taste it or smell it for certain, what gives? How can we take something that we can't see is there and use it to help us fly around in the air? It's not magic, you see. It's not hard to tell, but the wind by itself has no certain smell. For that would be boring and no fun at all if the wind of the spring smelled just like the fall. So rather than smell like only one smell, the wind's different scents all have stories to tell. And if we listen real hard and we watch really well, the wind tells us most things worth trying to tell. It tells us that wind by itself can't be seen, because it exists in the space in between, the things that we see and the things that we know, it's what moves them and shakes them or makes them go slow or speeds them right up as fast goes. That's good if you're glad for the direction you chose. But if you'd like the wind to work right for you, then look for it always in the things that you do. Because the wind, it can help you along as you go, or it can push you and pull you if you don't let it show you the way that you really, really should go. If you want things to work out, you must see the flow. Look for the way that the wind moves around by looking straight up at the clouds from the ground. Or look at the trees and the way that they bend, and know that that shows you the best way to send your kite in the sky for the best kind of flight, or if it's best to take shelter on a dark, stormy night. There's lots it can show you. There's lots you can tell. Like, which way's the pizza? You can tell by the smell. And it's funny how something you can't even see can help start the life of a great big old tree. And it never gets seen, it would never be known, if not for the way that things act when they're blown. Like the way that the waves slap onto the shore, and the way that the seagulls gracefully soar, or the way that it whistles as it blows through the trees, or touches your face, or tickles your knees. It's always around you, sometimes it's just still. But don't let that fool you, though I'll bet that it will. When you know what to look for, it's easy to see that it's all around you and it's all around me. And sometimes it's moving and sometimes it's not, but each little movement can show us what's what. So pay careful attention to the leaves on the trees and the birds in the sky and the hair on your knees, and watch what they show you with their movement and sway, and you'll see the wind in the nighttime or day. Yeah, so you see, you have to pay attention. Every second comes because the earth goes around the sun, but then in order to be able to do anything with it, you have to be able to see the wind. So we have to pay close attention to the things around us to understand their nature so that we can understand what they're going to do in the next moment and count on the fact that the next moment is coming, because for as long as the electrical current continues to be generated by our sun, our earth will continue to receive that energy, and that energy will cause each moment to become the next, and hallelujah, we will have a place to do what it is that we do and be the humans that we are. So we're coming pretty much to the end of the show, and I just want to thank everyone again for listening. I want to encourage everyone to please use the archives to listen to the shows over and over if you'd like. GalileoRealTime.com is the website address. You'll also find the real-time earth clocks there, a variety of sizes and shapes and prices, as well as the scale model timepieces of the seconds for us to remember that a second has size, and each second is different than the one before it and the one after it. And it's seeing the possibilities in the one that we're in right now that really helps us navigate our way through this, what can otherwise be a very confusing place. So I hope I was able to help. We're going to have the talking heads take us out of here for the last time on this go-around of the shows. And again, I want to thank everyone for listening. It's been my pleasure to provide the information and get in touch if there's anything I can do, any questions you might have. Other than that, be really well. Enjoy the talking heads. And, get in line. The universe is in order. So get ourselves in order with it. And I'll talk to you later. Be well.
Yeah. with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself,
listening to How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo. If you have a question about anything that has been discussed on this show, feel free to drop us a line at contacttalkradio.com or visit www.galileorealtime.com. The views expressed by host Michael Galileo may not be that of this station, but they are certainly